Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament there. Go to 1 Corinthians, then there's 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be in chapter 5 in a moment, talking about ambassadors. I was watching Eric play the guitar. Isn't it fun to watch him? So if you're wondering if you're supposed to be worshiping God, just watch your guitar player, you know. So that was kind of fun. The whole team was doing great, but I just enjoyed a couple moments there. He was enjoying his worship using the instrument. There's a lot that's happening, a lot that's going on, and I'm really thankful for what God's doing. I bringing really for this month as we get ready, you know, when we hit February, we're going to be talking about abiding in the power of His Word and Spirit. I'm looking forward to that when we walk through that together. But this month, we've been looking at a number of very important kinds of foundational things that help us get ready for what I know God wants for us to do. And being an ambassador is an important part about who we are. I was looking at, I don't know if you ever watch, there's certain like reality shows that are kind of fun. There's a bunch of them you shouldn't watch. Can you say amen to that? I should probably produce a list for you. But the ones that I enjoy is when people are changed. I was watching, an early morning version of the Today Show, although I found out they really fool you. They put it early in the morning, but it's not always really early in the morning. Did you know that? They tape these things. Wow, what news? I keep discovering that what you see on TV isn't always real. It's really shocking, isn't it? Wow. I thought that was, you know, anyway. So they had this, what it really looked like, you know, just kind of an everyday, ordinary-looking female. And, of course, they brought her on. They're going to do the transformation, right? So they show her, and there she is. And then they send her off. And then I caught it when, I guess, when I was looking at it, they were bringing her back on. There's the before picture, right? And then they bring the after picture. And, I mean, I got to tell you, that was like a different person. I mean, they went back there in less than a couple hours. They gave her a new hairdo, makeup, and clothes, and accessories. And she came out all smiles and excited, and her husband, who was waiting for her, he started crying. She had some kids there. They started crying. And, you know, I felt kind of bad for her because it's like she came out, everyone's crying. And here she was, like, so excited about the transformation. And I just thought, if only I could have a team like that at my house every morning, I would come out and people would cry. I mean, that's what you need, right? You need a team of, must have been six people back there helping her, you know, get ready for the day. And then she came out. That's there you go. The other one I enjoyed, it was not on as much anymore. I guess it's still on now and then, is the Extreme Home Makeover. I mean, for a while there, that was super popular. And I just loved it when they, I mean, you know, I cried with everybody when they do that. You know, it's just like come in there. And I was reminded, I was actually looking at a Time article, and they were reviewing the story of someone from South Central Los Angeles area. You might know as Watts, where I grew up there. I was like not very far from where I used to live. And I thought it was kind of neat. That caught my eye just because of the location. And I guess she had lost everything through just some flood and rain, just kind of really a bunch of circumstances happened. And I guess her home was chosen. She was, I guess, one of those community activists, a single mom who collected clothes and toys and different things for the whole neighborhood and was really out there. But she was really going through a pretty difficult time. So, you know, typical, you know, Ty Pennington shows up and takes her and her kids away to Carlsbad, California for a week, have a vacation, and then 100-plus people pour in. And I guess in this particular one, they literally tore it down to the foundation and rebuilt the whole thing. And they did it in all 1 week. Can you say amen to that? Now, that's the way to do a remodeling project, right? Just come in 1 week, you're done. And then, of course, I love it when he does. Everyone's there, everyone's excited, and they got the big bus in front of him, and he yells, "All right, everyone together, move that bus," right? And then they move it. And everyone is like, "Oh my God!" You know, and they're just so excited, and everyone's crying and jumping up and down, and then they go to commercial. Then you come back, and then you get to see why they're so excited, right? And there it is, the amazing, in this case, I mean, they literally redid the place. Everything was redone, even got a basketball court, and it was like, wow, total makeover. I mean, and all you could hear her say is, my life is going to change, my life is going to change, right? I mean, there's lots of shows like that. There's all kinds of, the Restaurant Impossible, and you see that one with Robert Irvine? I like Robert Irvine. I like the sledgehammer. Man, he goes into a restaurant. Same, in 2 days, he totally transforms that restaurant. And the same thing, I love the Enzo. It's always the same thing anyway. It's like about halfway in the show, he comes on and says, we're never going to get this done in time. And I'm going, yes, you are. Every week you get it done in time. I do not believe you anymore. You're lying. You're trying to create the suspense. And then, of course, at the very end, which is I like, it's okay, close your eyes. And then he says, okay, open your eyes. Of course, they go to commercial. And then you come back. And then there it is. And everyone is just amazed at the transformation that takes place. And they say, wow, this is a new beginning, a new chance. Everything's going to turn around. And I think sometimes, apparently, it does. It does help these restaurants and these people. I got to thinking about that. I thought, there's some commonality there. It's kind of like a 1-2-3 program. You have something happening. First of all, some outsider comes along and sees the possibilities that no one else could see. Number two, an outsider comes along and does what no one else seemingly could have done. And most importantly, number three, the outsider comes with all the money necessary to get it done. I thought that's exactly what Jesus does in our life. God comes to do an extreme makeover in our lives. When you think about it, he is in the business of transforming lives. And Jesus, the Spirit of God, sees possibilities in you that no one else sees. And then he comes in and is able to do what no one else can do. And the good news is he comes in with all the resources. Can you say amen to that? And all you have to do is let him in and move that bus, and you'll be amazed. 2 Corinthians reminds us of the transformation that can take place in our lives, as well as our responsibility to be a part of bringing the message of this transformation. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like, if you have your Bibles open, just look at verse 11 for a second. It's not on the slides, but I want to lay a foundation there in that first verse. And it tells us that because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Let me go back over that verse. Because, in other words, having heard everything that you've heard so far, we understand, we conceptualize, we know our reverent, not fearful, I'm afraid, but reverent, sacred responsibility to the Lord, which is Jesus. Therefore, we work hard to persuade others. I'd like for you to be reminded of the important responsibility that you and I carry as believers in Jesus. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, I'd like you to hear today what God can do in your life. The amazing transformation that can take place. Jump with me to verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. I love this. Anyone, absolutely anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. God totally changes you. The difference is extreme makeovers like I was talking about are external changes. But what God does is inside. He changes you in a way that lasts forever. You can get a new home. It will eventually break down. You can get makeup and clothes. It'll eventually need to be redone. You can get a new restaurant. Eventually, it's going to need another makeover. But when God comes into your life and changes you, that's set for eternity. Can you say amen to that? I can't think of anything more exciting than the makeover that God does and the fact that we can become a new person. It goes on, verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God. Everything we're talking about is an amazing gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Now, note that. You should underline that. And God has given us, that us, you can circle that, is you, together, us, this task of what we're talking about, reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. We'll come back to that. Look at verse 20. So, given everything we're talking about, let's nail it down. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Rather than move this bus, our declaration is come back to God. And look what the scripture says. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Can you say amen to that? We're called to be ambassadors. So I want you to turn to the person that you're with and let them know that you, remember, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Ambassador Steve. I can see some wives going, you ain't no ambassador to me, no. Wow. Let's talk it. Let's kind of work our way backwards. We're called to be ambassadors. We have an honor. And that's why I read what I did. I want you to nail this down, a responsibility. It's an honor, but we have a responsibility. I don't see this as an option, to be Christ's ambassadors. And here's what we need to be reminded, because I want to encourage you to walk around like an ambassador of Jesus. The world is watching you. The world is looking at you, and we serve as evidence to the reality of Jesus. If someone's wondering, is Jesus real? They ought to be able to look at us, watch us, and see the reality of Jesus. God said he's going to use you. He's given you the task. So what that means is we walk and we talk and we live a little differently. The good news is you don't have to be perfect. The good news is you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God to help you. The reality is you have to do this every day. So you get up and you go out that door. What would happen if you started walking out that door as an ambassador rather than just, you know, the everyday self? And realize that as you go to work, as you talk, as you interact with people, you do so as an ambassador of Jesus. Because that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You don't get time off with that. You're not just an ambassador when it's convenient or when it seems comfortable or when you can set it up for yourself. And there's no excuse, well, that's a work situation, that's a business deal, that's, you know, that's family stuff. You are called to be an ambassador in your family, in your marriage, with your children, with your mates. You are called to be an ambassador at work, when you go to the store, when you're driving down the street. Do you drive down the street like an ambassador? Yeah, some of you do. You got the flags going, and everyone, get out of my way, I'm an ambassador. I have clear field of the road. Yeah. You know, the message of ambassador from this word is very simple. Our declaration, our message is you can be new, you can be reconciled, and you can be saved. Say that with me. Be new, be reconciled, be saved. One more time. Be new, be reconciled, be saved. So, here we are, Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Man, that's a drag, because it puts it on us. I mean, if you're thinking, let someone else do it, you're the someone else. That's the reality. We speak for Christ, especially when we plead, come back to God. That's our message. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The very definition of ambassador, it should be clear, the point here should be very, very direct to you, because an ambassador is a person who is sent from one sovereign power to another, and they are supposed to represent the person who is sovereign and their country. In other words, you are an ambassador and you represent a country. That country is heaven. It even says in Scripture, we are citizens of heaven. This is not our home. And we have a sovereign. We have a king. His name is Jesus. And so wherever we go, we are his representative, and we speak on his. We can't make it up. We can't change it. Our job as an ambassador is to speak on behalf of our king and our Savior, Jesus. And we come from another country, heaven, to do the work right here on earth. Someday we return. And see, that becomes part of the problem. We've forgotten our place. You don't represent me. You don't represent the church in the sense of an organization. You represent the King of Kings, whose name is Jesus. The church has forgotten its ambassadorship. I want to challenge you. This challenged me. It challenged me to interact, because there are times, I would imagine you're like me, there are times when you're dealing with situations. I was the other day, it was so frustrating. Someone was being really rude. And I just really wanted to say some things. And I just said, you know, I just had to walk away, because I knew the best thing I could do as a representative of Jesus is to just turn around and go, this is going nowhere. And just walk away. I could have easily imagined myself going toe-to-toe with this person saying, how rude. But what have that done? I mean, there are times when we forget we are ambassadors. You go to the grocery store, man, you're an ambassador. You know, even though you may not always dress, you know, the way you're supposed to, you got your sweats on and you got your hoodie on and you're trying to hide from the world, I'm sorry, you're still an ambassador. The sunglasses, the hoodie, cannot hide the fact you are still an ambassador. Can you say amen to that? I've seen some of you out there trying to not have anyone see you. I'm just running out to get some milk. I don't want anyone to see me. I get that. But you're still an ambassador. And we have an amazing message. I am so thankful for the incredible patience of God with us. Because if God wasn't patient with us, I think we'd be in trouble. I know that my job is to see things as Christ sees them and not as humans see them. And isn't that hard sometimes? That we tend to view the world through our human eyes, and we have these filters that can easily skew a healthy, godly perspective. And over again, we're reminded you need to see this in the way that Jesus would see it. So that means we might have some different hope than someone else might have. We might have some extra optimism that someone else might not have. We might have some more really reality that someone else might not have, because we see it as Christ would see it. I love Proverbs. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings what? Say it with me. Brings what? Health. And how do you bring health? Sometimes the most amazing thing is an encouraging word, a smile, something that comes, that pours out of you because you have Jesus. And the person you're talking to doesn't. And what you see is, you know, just the sadness and the loss that's there. And you just feel badly for them. We have a mission. Now, I won't go into a lot of details, but you can read for yourself Acts chapter 26. Let me just give you a part of it. There's 18 verses there that you can review later. But it tells us in a succinct passage there. Here it is. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Okay, so let me break it down for you. Next slide. We have a call. God says, I send you. Now, who's you? All of us. This is not we're sending Pastor Steve out and his staff. This is every single one of us who calls ourselves a believer. Acts 26 says, I am sending you. So you need to be challenged to live like God's really sending you and not somebody else. Because this requires some effort on your part, right? Are you with me? I want to step on a couple toes here today. I really do. And then I'll pull back and apologize. You've heard me say this. I'm deeply concerned about where the church is going. And we need to start moving and living differently. So this is a call. I send you. The purpose, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, the power of Satan to God. I mean, that's what God does. He puts light where there's darkness, and there's something of this transition that we stop living for Satan, start living for God. And the hope we have is that they can receive forgiveness of sins, and the sanctification is an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is a clear mission that we are called to do. We're called to proclaim this. Now, we can't do it for them. We'll see in a moment. Our ministry of reconciliation is to point them to God. And we'll see what that means in a second. But some of you need to learn to dress in your ambassadorship robes. You're not getting dressed properly. Ephesians chapter 6. The wardrobe of an ambassador, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You walk out that door and you put on the armor of God. Some of you are just dressing your tennis shoes and sweatpants and that you're getting beat up. You need to put on the armor of God. It says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day and having it all to stand. And look at the very end of that passage, you get down to the last verse there. Man, surprise, surprise, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He could have said a lot of things, but there he repeats himself, I am an ambassador, that in it I may speak boldly. Do you speak boldly? Do you live boldly for Jesus? How loud are you for Jesus? How loud are you for a lot of other things? I was listening to someone who was being very loud about something he didn't like. And they were a believer. And I said to this guy, I said, man, that's great. You're very passionate. And I said, man, I wonder if you spoke this way about Jesus, what would happen? And he looked at me like, really? Thanks, Pastor. I said, you're welcome. You have to know someone for a long time to get away with that. Can you say amen to that? And I knew this guy for a really long time. But that's okay. We got away with it. But there's something about this. You see, listen, when you come to Jesus, when you really come to Jesus, let me say this lovingly. Some of you have not really come to Jesus. But when you really come to Jesus, and he really is in control, here I'm going to step on some toes. When he's really in control, which means he's in charge, you're not. That means when you make decisions, you're talking to him. You do things because of your conversation with him, and he's directing you. You even make some choices because of the wisdom he gives you. Man, we talked about that. We don't want our wisdom. We want his wisdom. When he really is in control, when he really is Lord over everything, over circumstances and lives and struggles and all kinds of things that happen, man, when he all of a sudden is who he is, everything changes. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be great. I know what it's like to face tough times. We all do. Maybe we have a bad day. Maybe it's a bad week. But then we remind ourselves. And there are times when I actually talk this way. Thank you, Jesus, for being the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, for being Jehovah, the Lord my God. Thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for your declaration that you are the Rose of Sharon. Thank you that you are the healer and the restorer. Thank you that you are my high tower, my strength. Thank you are the one who would save me and that you are greater in me than anything else that's trying to come at me right now. Thank you that you love me and would never leave me and forsake me. And I, you know what? I'm facing this thing right now, but all this is true. And then you face it, and it's a little bit different. I walked in a situation the other day I was presented with, and I thought, there is no hope in this. A couple in a really bad place, sitting in my office. And for everything in me, as I began that conversation, I am thinking to myself, this thing is done. I don't know that there's going to be recovery here. Too many affairs, too much injury. They're too young, and I'm thinking of all the things. I went in there though. I thought, okay, God, this is really going to be have you. This has to be you because I don't have anything here. I walked in feeling a little bit like, oh, there are times. I mean, I just give you a little insight. I walk in some meetings and I'm kind of going, all right, Lord, you and me, because I don't want to be here right now, because I knew what to expect. And there was a very powerful emotion. Things were said, done, and it was like, most of you would not have enjoyed that moment. But I went in, God, please, I plead with you, do a miracle here. And so I reminded them that who they were in Jesus. And it wasn't really very complicated or fancy. I simply said, you know what? Greater is he in you than what's happened to your marriage. And I said, it's going to take a while, but I want you to know something. In Jesus, not in me, but in Jesus, this thing is still fixable. And you got three kids that I believe are worth trying to fix this over. He started crying. She started crying. He says, does it mean we have to live with each other? I said, not right now. I said, you need to live separate right now. This is too hurtful. That's the right thing. I'm not going to go into the details, but that's the right thing. But I said, in Christ, and they didn't want to hear this, but a couple years from now, you'll be able to spend the rest of your life if you're willing to go through this journey. I think they were relieved by that. Because if I had said to them, all right, in Jesus, you got 1 week, we're done. I feel anxiousness for them right now. Too much. But what a miraculous thing. And I've seen this time and time again, how God does a miraculous work. And I got to tell you, they walked out with some hope because of Jesus. I felt like an ambassador. At that moment, I felt like I was bringing the message and proclaiming, you need to come back to God. Obviously, they needed to come back to Jesus. Can you say amen to that, church? I am excited about our ambassadorship and the declaration of what can happen when Jesus really is Jesus. Now, I want to read something from Deuteronomy that's very powerful. I want you to, we're going to put it on the screen. I want you to follow along with this because this is a big thing. This is not just a word to a nation about the cross over a river to Israel. This is a word to you and I who live on the Olympic Peninsula. It begins in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30. Now listen, Shema. In the Hebrew, it's saying, don't just hear this thing. You need to get this thing. You need to integrate it. You need to apply this into your life. So listen, today I'm giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, laws, regulations by walking in all his ways. That's pretty strong, isn't it? If you do this, you will live and become a great nation. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and refuses to listen, refuses to integrate this thing, refuses to apply it, and if you draw away to serve and worship other gods, if you get involved with other things, if you allow your priorities to go elsewhere, if you don't really put time in with the Lord here, then I warned you. I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God, to obey him, commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has given you a land called the Olympic Peninsula. And this applies to you and I today. The choice in Deuteronomy is repeated, and we are given the same choice throughout the New Testament. That's why God said, I'm giving you this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a choice. It is only possible because of God's forgiveness, that God forgives you. Understand, reconciliation is a ministry, it's a process that requires your response. Basically, reconciliation is God has said, we have a problem. The problem is your sin. And because of that, we can't hang out together. We're separated. God says, I'm holy. And holiness cannot hang out with sinfulness and evil. So here's the deal. We got to figure out a way to make this thing work. We got to end the hostility. We got to end what's being alienated between us. So what are we going to do? I don't think you're going to be able to live a perfect life. Has anyone done that? No. So here's the deal. I'll send my only son to earth, and he will live a perfectly sinless life. He will live perfectly. He will live perfectly. I just had this conversation about 10 days ago. Well, come on, Jesus must have sinned someplace in his life. No, Jesus did not sin in his life. Oh, come on, two-week-old baby. He probably woke his parents up. No, he didn't. He was the perfect baby. I know it's hard to believe because our frame of reference are our kids. He's the baby you always wanted. You had him, you would have been like Mary and had 15 other kids. Yes, Jesus was perfect from the moment of conception to the cross when he conquered death and hell as a risen Lord. He was perfect. And there's a world out there that doesn't want, they want to punch a hole in that. And if they can just get a little hole in that, well, then he's just like us. He's not. He's incarnate. And so that is why this thing works. is because he was perfect for you. He died for you, took on the sins for you, and therefore reconciled, made it possible that we can have atonement, that we can have this relationship. And your job is to get out and let people know about that. Because that's what he did. That was one of the, I mean, what could be more big than that? We deserve death. We deserve punishment. And God says, I'm going to forgive you. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. I mean, I'm reminded every day I can really blow it. Did anyone blow it in the last couple days? Come on, raise your hand. If you blew it, raise your hand. If you didn't blow it, raise your hand. I was about to, talk about lying here in a moment. I know it wasn't a big thing, but I know you said something, thought something, did something, and you were wrong. I was wrong. I am so thankful that I can go to God and say, God, I need to end my day talking to you about forgiveness because I need that right now. And I need to wake up tomorrow knowing, just like your word says, your mercies are new every morning. You still love me, and we're still okay. And here's what God says. I still love you. We're still okay, and my mercy's new the next morning. That's real. I'm not just saying that. That's real. See, the thing that holds us back is sin. Sin's the problem. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when enticed has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth what? Say it again. What does it bring forth? Sin always brings forth death. Not just injury. Not just a problem, not just a little bit of uncomfortability, it brings forth death, always. At the end, it will kill. That is the whole mission of Satan, is to kill. Proverbs tells us the Lord sees clearly what a man... Don't you love this stuff? The Lord sees clearly what man does. Let me reframe that. The Lord sees clearly what Stephen does. See, that I don't like that. It, not only does he see it, but he sees it clearly. Even when I try to fake him out, he knows what's going on, right? Examining every path, not just some of the path, every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. I know someone right now who's in the hospital for lack of self-control. She couldn't control herself, so she drank too much, got in a car, got in an accident, and is now in the hospital fighting for recovery. She's going to live, but her lack of self-control got her in trouble. He'll be lost because of his incredible folly. The thief comes to kill, steal, or destroy any way possible. The enemy will come against us. The enemy does come against us. And we need to remember what we have. We have a Lord and Savior who is completely and totally involved with us, who is completely and totally for us, who gives us all of this amazing resource possible, but it requires our obedience of faith. You have to choose it. You can't sit here and think, okay, God, let it flow into me. God, thank you for bringing in your... Oh, yeah, I feel better now. Ooh. Now I'm strong. There's none like God. And you have a responsibility to fight. Fight against evil. Fight against immorality. Fight against corruption. Now listen, let me say this to you. I know you blew it, but that doesn't mean you can't fight. I've had more people say the words to me, I don't deserve to fight. Yes, you do. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. Some of you have been through some of the stuff I'm talking about. Some of you are going to think, did you read my mail? Yes, I did. I have helpers that go throughout the city and check your mail before we come here on Sunday. Can you say amen to that? If you'd like a place of volunteering, let me know. I can. It's because of Jesus. Of course, none of us have a leg to stand on because of what we've said or done. But thank God it's not about that. We still fight. Maybe you had a horrible past. Maybe you really blew it. Maybe you have had affairs. You've stolen. You've done criminal things. Maybe you have done drugs or alcohol. Maybe you have been a sex addict. Maybe you have gone and been greedy and selfish and you've had a terrible attitude. Maybe you've had rage problems or alcohol problems. Maybe you've been depressed or have anxiety. Maybe you have had all these kinds of things that possibly could have going on. But let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And for some of us, that needs to take place every morning. Can you say amen to that? And this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself. So you have the Holy Spirit that will give you the strength to do this. That's why the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses. So, listen, there's a list of things you need to do. Ask God for help. Now, this is for you to take home and look at. There's scriptures there. But you know what? You may need to confess sin. You may need to make a decision and change your behavior. You need to fight evil. You need to confront with Spirit-filled authority. We're going to talk about that later on. You need to worship the Lord. And here's where I want to land on. And you need to fall in love with Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. I am convicted. I am reminded. I need to love the Lord, the God, with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. The only way you're going to do this, you're called to be an ambassador. It's time for you and I to meet that challenge and walk out of this place today differently. And every one of us can do that. If you doubt it, I'm here to tell you, you can do this. I've already told you, it can't get any worse in the past, but the old life is gone. And there's a new life in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the new life that we have in you. Thank you for the power that you've given, the dunamis, the strength, the might of the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for hope. Some of us, we're not too proud of what's happened in the past. Oh, but Lord, that past is gone. And today is new. Because of you, Lord, I pray that you would remind each and every one of us that we're new. We have been transformed by the power of God. Really, when we have received and believed in you, it's different. We're called to be ambassadors, to talk and to walk and to live as an ambassador of Christ. Do you have Jesus in your life? I would imagine most of us do. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus as your Savior, or for some reason he's gotten away, somehow you stepped back too far, somehow you've let it go, the things I've been talking about seem really foreign to you. Our eyes are closed for a moment of privacy. I invite you, make it right. Commit yourself, recommit yourself to Jesus before we end this time together. You have been given a choice, life or death. I invite you to choose life in Jesus. Today would be that, right now, that moment for that choice to be made. Just raise your hand where you are. And with a raised hand, you say, yes, let's pray. Steve, pray with me. I'm going to raise my hand, and you and I are going to pray together. Because you're going to make a choice for life. Just raise your hand right now. Put your hand up, and we'll pray. You won't be embarrassed. Just put your hand up. Worst is going to happen, someone might come and pray with you. Anybody else, just raise your hand. Another moment, we're going to go away here. We're going to move on. Choose life. It's your chance right now. Because if your hand is down, you're telling me, I have made that choice. I have already chosen life. Or you're telling me you don't care. And you just... done. Otherwise, raise your hand. Lord, thank you for these hands that have been raised who choose life today. Thank you, Lord God, for the ministry you will bring, for the reminder, Lord God, of what we really have. So I pray, Lord God, that today becomes a day of new beginnings, new life, new hope, new love and new mercy that comes from you. We need to come to you, Lord God, and our message is clear as ambassadors of the Most High. We are ambassadors of Jesus, of the Christ. I pray that we will live, each and every one of us, because we choose more of you. We will love you with all of our heart. We will love you with all of our mind, every thought. We will love you with the very depths of our soul. We will love you with our strength, with all that we do. Every movement will reflect our love for you. In Jesus' name.